Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. Have you ever noticed that there are some events in life that leave an indelible impression on the minds of almost everybody? For example, I can't think of anyone in my generation that doesn't recall exactly what they were doing and where they were when President Kennedy was assassinated. I know that I was working for the Bank of America in Canoga Park, California. That's when my wife Judy called with the news. I bet you can remember where you were and what you were doing too. This week marks the anniversary of another event in history that still burns fresh in the minds and the hearts of most Americans. Until September 11, 2001, the number 911 called to our minds an emergency telephone number. Then, on that tragic day, it changed. Our beloved country was viciously attacked by foreign terrorists. You remember, two of our most populous cities' high-rise buildings were destroyed by suicide pilots that had hijacked commercial airliners. Our nation wept as the scene unfolded before our very eyes. When I consider such events, my patriotic blood pressure rises. I admit without shame or embarrassment that I love this country. I would give my life to defend its principles of freedom. I remember as if it were yesterday when Rick Mundy of the Chicago Cubs raced into center field at Wrigley Stadium and rescued an American flag that had been set afire and thrown to the ground by a right-wing political radical. I stood in front of my television and cheered the courage of such action. It made me proud that Rick was an alumni of Arizona State University. I also remember the 1991 Super Bowl. Our military was fighting on foreign soil, and our nation was traumatized. Pete Rozelle, commissioner of the NFL, had questioned the wisdom of even playing the game. Finally, a decision was made to go ahead with the game, and Whitney Houston was contracted to sing the national anthem. If you heard that song, you probably wept, along with most everyone else. It was simply the most moving song I've ever heard. I love the USA. I loved it when, after winning the 100-meter race, Carl Lewis circled the track in Los Angeles in the 1984 Olympics, waving a little American flag as he ran. I loved it when our astronauts set foot on the moon and planted the Stars and Stripes. There are times when, considering the blessings that God has given our nation, that I am simply overwhelmed. There are also times when I wonder about the kind of life my children and grandchildren will have in the generations to come. I wonder whether God will continue to bless America. Will God continue to bless America? Do you realize that we're rich? You and I measure ourselves by ourselves and oftentimes feel like the other people are the rich ones, but no, those of us living in this country are rich. We live more comfortably than any generation in the history of mankind. We throw away more food on a day that we call Thanksgiving than some families have to eat in a week. Dogs and cats in our country receive better nourishment and better medical attention than millions of people do in third world countries. I want to suggest to you two undeniable truths. First, you and I are richly blessed with an abundance. Second, you and I take these blessings for granted. We become in such a rush in our lives that we don't prayerfully count our many blessings. We sing a song at our worship services, "Count Your Blessings." But I believe that sometimes we need to expand that thought beyond the walls of our building. We forget at times that God is from whom all blessings flow, James 1 and verse 17. Preparatory to entrance into the Promised Land, Moses spoke of the dangers of affluence and opulence, the dangers that the Israelites would face in the land of Canaan. What a message! Turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 7. Let's read the speech that Moses made, so meaningful to those Israelites. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water from you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and He might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand hath gained me this wealth.' And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if by any means you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." How are those words that were said so many years before to the nation of Israel important to us today? Well, I ask you to consider the 15th chapter and verse 4 of Romans, and the 10th chapter and verse 11 of 1 Corinthians. Therein we are told that those things are written before time were written for our admonition, for our learning. Those things written in the book that we call the Old Testament were written as a schoolmaster would teach and train, as a tutor would bring to attention to his students those things that they need to know. I've heard that experience is the best teacher, and I would not disagree with that, but it doesn't have to be my experience. I can take the experiences of those from times before and learn from them so that I don't make the same mistakes. That admonition that Moses gave to the Israelites is important to us today. Now the question, will God continue to bless America? Yes, I believe He will if we humble ourselves and realize that no nation is indestructible. In Proverbs 15 and verse 25, the Bible reads, "The Lord will tear down the house of the proud." In Proverbs the 16th chapter and verse 18, the Bible reads, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Well, I realize that those truths apply to individuals. They also apply to nations. Obadiah is a book of very little study. Obadiah was a prophet, and his prophecy is recorded toward the end of the Old Testament. The Edomites were a people about whom the Obadiah wrote and who he warned. Look at Obadiah, the 3rd and the 4th verses. "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?' Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, saith the Lord." The ancient powers of Babylon, of Phoenicia, of Egypt, were all brought down because of an inflated self-worth. The Bible deals with that subject in Isaiah, the 13th chapter and verse 11. Also in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter and verse 2. And Ezekiel, the 29th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Even God's own people, the Israelites, were removed as a nation because they sought alliances with other national powers instead of trusting in God. The Bible teaches, and history confirms, no nation is indestructible. The greatness of a nation is not how many nuclear weapons it has. The greatness of a nation is not how many ICBMs the nation has and their effectiveness. The greatness of a nation is not whether the budget is balanced. The greatness of a nation is not whether the economy is stabilized. The greatness of a nation is not in the unemployment rate or other social standards. The greatness of a nation rests in its people giving glory and thanks to God. Solomon wrote in Psalms 127 and verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." Will God continue to bless America? Yes, I believe He will if we return to the moral principles of God. Proverbs 14 and verse 34 reads, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." If it's true that sin disgraces a nation, then you and I are running headlong into a disgraced and reproachable people. Historians tell us it was internal moral decay that led to the fall of the Roman Empire. My friend, it's happening again. Perhaps like Belshazzar, you and I need to see the handwriting on the wall. 42,036,175 abortions in the United States since 1973. That's 42 million murders in an enlightened society. That's 3,600 per day, 151 per hour, one every 24 seconds. For every 1,000 live births in our country, there are 306 abortions. In 1997, more abortions were recorded in the United States of America than all of the combined deaths in the Revolutionary War, World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, Vietnam, and the Gulf Wars. Sexual promiscuity runs rampant in epidemic proportion in our nation. It is reported that 1 in 5 lose their virginity before the age of 13. 30% of married couples in a recent Harris poll admitted to extramarital affairs. 50% of the girls and 80% of the boys in a high school district in Chicago admitted to having sex while in their teen years. We are told that 6% of our country is lesbian and 7% homosexual. Alcohol and substance abuse. 10 million people in our country taking at least one drink of alcoholic beverage between the 7th and the 12th grade. 15 million alcoholics. 1 million teenage members of Gambling Anonymous. Our values are changing. Immorality and worldliness viewed even by Christians as being respectable. The language on our televisions. The immodest apparel on our streets. The sex in the movies. Our senses are being dulled. In Matthew, the 7th chapter and verse 23, Jesus says there will be those who come before Him in judgment to whom He will say, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you." What a sad thing to hear on that last day. You and I must be concerned about our morality. We must get back to living the pure and holy life before the world that we read about in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verse 15 beginning. There the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Look again in the next chapter, chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Paul wrote, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Will God continue to bless America? Yes, I believe he will if there's a restoration of the home as God intended it to be. The breakdown of the family unit in the United States is unbelievable. Listen to God's way for the home in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Thousands in our country live together, enjoying the relationship that God has designed to be within the framework of marriage, but are not married. 50% of the marriages in many of our major cities end up in the divorce court. Listen to a quote from Edward Gibbons, who wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Quote, "The reason for the rapid increase in the rapid decline of the Roman Empire is the increase in divorce and the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home," unquote. It's no wonder that America is in trouble. The home is being destroyed. And what's done about that? We build and support daycare centers where kids are raised by 9-to-5 substitute moms. We give our kids to humanist schools for training and then wonder why they develop such attitudes. Listen to a little poem written by Edward Guest. It's meaningful. We think of orphans only as little girls and lads who haven't any mothers and who haven't any dads. They are grouped with other children, in groups they're put to bed, with some stranger paid to listen while their little prayers are said. All the grown-ups look with pity on such lonely children small, and declare to be an orphan is the saddest fate of all. But sometimes I look about me and with sorrow hang my head as I gaze on something sadder than the orphans of the dead. Far more pitiful and tragic, as the long days come and go, are the orphans of the parents they're not allowed to know. They're the orphans of the living, left alone to romp and play, from their fathers and their mothers by ambition shut away. They have fathers who are busy and so weighted down with cares, they haven't time to listen to a little child's affairs. They have mothers who imagine life could give them, if it would, something richer, something better than the joys of motherhood. So their children learn from strangers, and by strangers' hands are fed, and the nurse, for so much money, nightly tucks them into bed. Lord, I would not grow so busy that I cannot drop my task to answer every question which that child of mine may ask. Let me never serve ambition here so selfishly, I pray, that I cannot stop to listen to the things my children have to say. For whatever cares beset them, let them know I'm standing by. I don't want to make them orphans till comes the day I die. What we need, my friend, is moral training in the home, and we need it now. We must have husbands and wives committed to stay married. We must have grandparents who help establish and maintain godly relationships in their families through their influence. We need grandparents that get out of that Winnebago and spend time with the grandchildren not just teaching, but showing how godly people live in the sight of God. Will God continue to bless America? Yes, I believe He will if there's a revival of the dignity for man as God created in the image of God. My friends, there's either a God, as Genesis says, or there isn't a God. It can't be both ways. If God is, then man is responsible to Him. If God is, then man is a perfect standard. If God is, then man will be judged by the standard of God. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." But if there is no God, if it is true that man is a product of mechanistic chance as we have been taught in our school system, the consequences cannot be understated. If there is no God, there is no standard. There can be no absolute standard. Nothing can be classified as wrong. If there is no God, there is no such thing as love. Love only has meaning because God is. God is love. God made man in His own image, thus giving man the capacity to love and to be loved. You know why that modern man has concocted this humanistic doctrine called evolution? It's because modern man, in all of his intelligence, can't imagine that there's any power greater than he. That type of a person needs to sit down with the Bible and turn it to the book of Romans, chapter 1, and read out loud to himself verses 19 through 22. Will God continue to bless America? Yes, I believe He will if we realize that the God who created the universe is the God who rules the universe. Benjamin Franklin, at the age of 81, addressed the Congressional Congress. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without His aid?" Ladies and gentlemen, the fate of our nation is not determined in the halls of Congress or through Senate legislation or at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. The fate of this country rests in the hands of God. Psalms 33 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." As long as we remember this, we will be blessed. But when we forget, the Bible teaches and the history confirms that He will withhold the blessings. Remember the Edomites in Obadiah in verse 4. "Though you exalt yourself as high as an eagle, and though your nest is among the stars, from there I will bring you down, saith the Lord." Will God continue to bless America? Yes, if we restore New Testament discipleship. The gospel has to be taken out of the four walls of the building that we call the church and put into the hearts and the lives of our associates. We must live the life of Matthew 28 and verse 19, where Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples." The dedication of first century Christians did not confine itself to the times of the assembly. They went about preaching Jesus to a lost and dying world. The United States of America prides itself on being the strongest nation in the world, and I believe that we are. But we have been given the impression that we are invincible, that our reservoir of military firepower makes us indestructible. But I ask, is the strength of nations so measured? To ask is to answer. Will you join me in being patriotic? The most loyal, patriotic thing that we can do for our country is to be a faithful Christian. If enough of us do, then maybe, just maybe, there will be enough salt, enough leaven, enough light to preserve this great nation. God bless America. I pray that He will continue to do so. Well, thank you for joining me in this study. Lord willing, next week we will return to our series of lessons concerning overcoming sinful attitudes. Until then, this is Ken Leach praying that each of us has unusual opportunities to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Oh, sun, it shall be. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.